CBS Eye on the World with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor, and we welcome Ann Stephenson Yang to help us understand headlines out of China, where there is nothing but trouble from the metrics that we have. For example, the PMI, the manufacturing number, has dipped under 50 again. And there's no reason to believe that Evergrande and Country Garden, the big developers, have found a magic way out of their problems of failure. However, right now, Anne is the author of Wild Ride, China's Short-Lived Experiment in Capitalism. The short-lived part is to be emphasized. Anne, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. The headline at CNBC, Why China's 1 trillion yuan debt plan isn't such a big deal. As I understand it, Chinese authorities have announced a big change to the national budget. They're issuing $137 billion in government bonds. Why, and is it big enough? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for that kind introduction. So, I mean, what you have to realize is how much debt has already been issued and has not been paid back within China. So another trillion renminbi is less than 1%. It's like 70 basis points. So essentially, you know, who really cares?
Gordon, you have a question for Anne.
So Anne, people in outside China thought that the increase in debt would be bigger. So why wasn't it bigger?
Because they have a fixed exchange rate with the U.S. dollar, and they're terrified of breaking this. There's already a lot of pressure on the renminbi, which is trading at about, last I looked, was about 7.3 to the U.S. dollar. And, you know, it's a supply and demand issue. The more renminbi there is sitting in the economy, the more the rate wants to decline. So, you know, there's less dollars, more renminbi. So you want to spend more renminbi to buy dollars. So that's not what the government wants. And so trading in the foreign exchange markets has really dropped close to zero because nobody wants to buy dollars at the rate that they determine.
And the White House is announcing and the foreign ministry in Beijing is confirming that the president of the United States at the APEC meeting in San Francisco in these next days will sit and meet and speak with Xi Jinping. This comes at a moment when Xi Jinping is much in the news all the time. He visited the People's Bank of China last week, I believe, and that was a news item. What is it that Xi Jinping will ask from President Biden? What is it that he needs at the People's Bank of China? Or is he the man who's looking for solutions?
It's amazing. Even Xi Jinping went to the Bank of China for the first time that he in his tenure, which has been over 10 years now. He went there to ask, what's the story with the foreign reserves? Like, what are these foreign reserves? Don't we really have 3 trillion? How come we have this weakening exchange rate? And you can just imagine all those governors of the PBOC looking at each other and saying, shall we tell him? And Xi Jinping like, wait, nobody's answering me and leaving. So, you know, that's why he went to the central bank. What he wants from Biden is really quite a separate issue. China gets very steamed up about U.S. sanctions on technology and export controls, and he would like those to end. It's not going to fix their economic issues, but that's what Xi Jinping is looking for.
So what he's looking for is magic, but it's not there in chips or in export controls in any fashion. What he needs is something entirely different. And the People's Bank of China couldn't explain it to him. We can presume he left there unaware of what the problem is.
I think that that's a safe bet. You know, Xi Jinping, as much power as he has arrogated to himself, really cannot turn water into wine. And so so there they are with this problem, which is the exchange rate, this rising debt, and a reluctance to issue, you know, trillions and trillions of renminbi that temporarily would fix the problem.
Gordon, Anne reminds me to use an old saw. She uses water into wine. I'm going to say the emperor has no clothes and he's unaware of it, Gordon. Is that a way to describe him?
Actually, it's worse than that because there are known solutions for China's problems, though one might wonder whether things are too far gone. But the problem is that Xi Jinping is adopting solutions that in Chinese history have always resulted in tragedy. He's closing off the country from foreigners, and he's also centralizing power. And we know from at least the beginning years of the People's Republic that that doesn't work. And we also know from two millennia of Chinese history that doesn't work. So China's relentlessly pursuing policies that are going to result in complete failure.
You have a question for Ann Gordon.
Ann, the foreign exchange reserves of China are officially reported to be about $3.1 trillion. Do they really have that much in liquid assets?
So, China doesn't disclose the composition of its foreign reserves. The liquid portion of the assets mostly sit with Chinese commercial banks. So China's central bank is often asking the commercial banks to purchase U.S. dollars or to sell U.S. dollars, rather, so that they can support the rate. But they really don't, they can't really sell their own reserves. They had about $30 billion, I guess, in September of sales. And those came from the commercial banks that didn't come from the reserves.
And the puzzle here, if there is a road ahead for China, it would be to win back the faith of foreign investment. Is that possible? Is that credible? Are they doing anything that can in some fashion represent themselves to investor class?
You know, John, I, first of all, no. And secondly, I don't really think that that's the solution. In a political vacuum, the solution would be to basically hand out those assets to all of the poor people in China and allow them to import a lot of stuff and turn it into a consumption economy. Now, that's not going to work any more than the U.S. could go back to a tax system of the 1950s and 60s, even though that might address a lot of our problems. It just politically is not going to work. So what's likely to happen is band-aids in China, issue a little bit more debt, float some bonds, increase the deficit, and then just kind of kick the can a little bit more.
Gordon, you have a question.
And Evergrande just announced a plan for foreign investors. Country Garden defaulted. Do these companies have a future?
They have a future, I think, having their assets broken up and handed to local governments and to other owners. I don't think that they have futures as companies as they were, you know, in the past.
There was a video I enjoyed, but I didn't get the location of some apartment buildings, you know, high rises all gathered together. They always look the same in these magic cities that arose during the early part of this century. And suddenly there was an explosion. They all came tumbling down. Is that happening all across China? Are Evergrande and Country Garden properties being reduced to rubble?
Who knows, John? Right now, there are fewer foreign nationals in China than there are in Luxembourg. So there isn't, and you know, information that Chinese nationals can convey abroad is limited. So we have limited access to what's going on, particularly out of the major cities.
Ann Stephenson Yang, author of the upcoming Wild Ride, China's Short-Lived Experiment in Capitalism. Gordon Chang, I'm John Bashley.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,